Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, your host for this weekend edition and throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Chad is on vacation this week, so I am running this full weekend show. We're going to start off chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Get comments on a wide range of markets. Also get Doc's big picture view of the economy and markets. And then in the back end of the show, we're going to continue to stick to more of a generalist focus as I'm going to wrap up the show with Rick Bensignor. Now, as promised, I am chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. And Doc, we are recording this about halfway through the day on Wednesday. So we received that CPI data. Inflation is continuing to come down, much in line with expectations, even maybe a little bit quicker than some expected. We're seeing the markets pop, including the precious metals pop. Doc, let's just stick with the big picture view on inflation, which is continuing to come down, expectations that the Fed will still hike this month, but could then pause again moving forward. The economy is still relatively strong. It's not in a recession yet, as most people are looking for that recession. Doc, how do you view this macro landscape as we're now in the second half of 2023, a time when a lot of people were saying the recession's coming and even a bigger market drop is also going to follow?
Well, Corey, I know Powell is just loving this. You're starting to see inflation moderate like they hoped. The stock market is hanging up there. Unemployment is low. And he hasn't broken anything yet. So he might not raise in July. He might wait until September. But regardless, he's got to feel really good about this, because if he raises periodically, then he can sit back and just watch again for a while to see what happens. Of course, there's always the delay in raising these rates. So we may see pain from this later, but I ultimately think we're going to see that recession that everybody's been expecting for a long time. I think it's in the works, but Powell is in a good driver's seat right now, because he can raise again a little bit in July and then sit back again until September and watch a couple of months of data again. And since the stock market hasn't been injured yet severely, at least on the charts, he has all the time in the world to do what he wants. But I do believe there will eventually be a recession, and how hard it's going to be, it's hard to tell. But so we'll still have some inflation with a recession. Also, the bond market, we're in a bear market for the bond market. And for the bond market, we're sitting right at the 200-month moving average. And it's going to be fascinating to see if it slips below the 200-month moving average for a couple months, closes. Because if it does, we're going to be in this bond market bear for quite a while. So that tells me that inflation might be a little stubborn going forward. But anyway, that's how I see the macro picture right now.
So it sounds like you're very much in the camp of that higher for longer for inflation and even for rates. You don't think that we're going to start to see a Fed almost panic, start to have to cut rates, who knows, by the end of this year, early next year, and we will go back to those ultra low interest rate policies?
I think we're done in my lifetime, but I'm an old guy, so that's not very long probably. But we're done as far as seeing a quick and serious low back to a 0% federal funds rate. I think we're not going to see it for years. I think we're beginning a long-term bear market for the bond market. And I think this decade is going to be very tough for investors. But it'll be a good 10 years finally for savers. They're actually going to get some return on their money if they select the right vehicles to invest in because they are out there. And so it's a good thing for savers, finally. But for speculators, it's going to be a little tough, I believe, because we definitely are seeing a change in the mood of the market. And I think a significant change for the first time in years.
So does that mean you think investors will start demanding some sort of dividend, that those type of stocks will be a bit more favored because, well, there are alternatives out there where you can make money by simply saving?
Yeah, value is back, I believe. Growth stocks will always do well if they really have a product that makes sense, and if it makes sense that they're going to grow significantly. But the speculation, I think, is going to be taken out of these markets for a while. And it's going to reside mostly, as far as the stock market is concerned, on value stocks, stocks that actually produce, instead of there being just hope. And with money tightening by the Fed, there will be less speculation going forward, I believe. Although on the fiscal end, they're going to still spend money, so there's still going to be a lot of money floating around. But it'll be interesting when 2025 comes and they have to deal with debt ceiling again to see how they respond if they finally say, we got to do something about these deficits. And that'll be a fascinating time in 2025, depending on who is president.
Well, that's the key, right? Depending on who's president, because who knows? That's a long way away right now. Doc, when it comes to, I guess, just straight economic data, because the inflation data is moving markets today, which we haven't seen data that came out that moved markets in a fair while. Again, it's just today so far that we can talk about, but what are you going to be watching most closely that gives you a heads up on what the Fed might do and what impacts markets the most, even more importantly?
Well, for precious metals, the stock I'm watching very closely now to tell us about the precious metal sector is Newmont. And I'm watching the monthly charts because Newmont had a nice little move today, but it's sitting right at the area of $40 to $45 per share. And I'm looking at the $40 per share area. And if we get a monthly close in the next couple, 3 months below $40 for Newmont, I think that's going to signal an ongoing issue for the precious metal area, because if your largest caps are finally being taken to the woodshed, and if Newmont closes below that point, it doesn't bode well for the whole sector in my view. So that's something I'm watching as far as Newmont is concerned. As far as the stock market, you better be very selective in what you're purchasing, because with us at 29 to 30 PEs for the market, we're at a very high level when normally the median medium or the averages and the median averages historically are at 15 to 17. We have a long time to get back to those levels, and I think we'll get back to those levels, but it'll be an arduous process, I think, over the next months and years. And that's why I say I think this decade will be a lost decade for the stock market. I don't see anything on the horizon that's going to really push this market higher, and so I think it's going to be up and down, and eventually I think we're going to break below the 50-month moving average. And that's what I'm watching for the stock market, a couple of monthly closes below that. And when that happens, I think we're really going to see the secular bear market. And since we haven't seen that, I think the recession is still pushed back a ways. We might see it by next year or the end of this year. It's starting to unfold, especially if Powell keeps raising rates.
So, Doc, since you got into gold, let's focus a little bit more. Starting with the gold chart, because, well, you can argue it's a bit of a different chart when you look at gold compared to some of the underlying stocks, a lot of the underlying stocks, but first and foremost, gold. You look at a longer-term chart, you can pretty clearly see that just under 2,100 has been a pretty solid top for that market over the last of about 3 years now, over 3 years. And the lows, well, back in the 1600s, we aren't even really close to those levels. And gold, as we're talking, more around 1960. What's your outlook for gold? Do you think we get that break to all-time highs? And do you think that it could actually carry through and hold up there sometime by the end of this year?
I don't think it's going to happen this year, Corey. I know I mentioned 2 years ago when I felt we had a top in this gold market that we would grind lower for months and to years. And I think that, and I mentioned back then that the earliest we would potentially see a new bull market would be 2023 and probably second half of this year, I mentioned. But it doesn't look like it to me as far as the charts right now. We could move a little higher, but I think we're not going to see anything happen tremendously in the precious metals the rest of this year. I think 2024, and having said that, though, I'm starting to purchase these precious metals every week now. I've been doing it for about 6 weeks, and I'll continue to do that because I think this is going to be the best time to purchase these and well into 2024. But I think by the end of 2024, we're going to start to see hope in these markets based on what I'm seeing. The other thing that's interesting is a while back, I mentioned also that I felt that on the monthly gold chart is we might be forming a nice inverse head and shoulders pattern, and that we're forming the right shoulder when you look at it right now. And I think that could happen, and that might have to happen for a few months here, and then I think we go back up and challenge the 2100 level. And the next time, it's a good possibility that when we do that, we're going to break out at that point in time. But I think that's still weeks and months away.
So, Doc, do you think a breakout in the gold price can drive the stock, something like GDX or GDXJ? That in all fairness, again, you take a look at the shorter term chart just since really Q4 of last year, it looks like we've been putting in at least a couple higher highs, and now it looks like a couple higher lows. But again, you look at a longer term chart and, well, there's still kind of lower highs that have been in place every time gold runs up to that 2100 level.
Yeah, and I think the fourth time we run up, when you look when it peaked in 2020, I think the fourth time is going to be the charm, but I think we're going to have to come back and test the 50-month moving averages again before we do that. I don't see us. Frankly, this is a great-looking chart for gold. Gold has not gotten crushed like it did back in 2011 and 12, when we saw it move down consistently for 4 or 5 years. We're trading mostly a little down to sideways, and that tells you this is a strong market. And it's telling you that going forward, once this thing breaks out, I think the stocks will break out with it the next time. And so that's why I'm saying now is the time to be purchasing these things for the long haul. And boy, there are some real bargains out there right now, Corey. And but then you're going to have to sit on the sidelines and just wait. But you're going to be rewarded. But the next year, year and a half is going to be a great time to take your positions, because after 2024, I think we're really sitting in a good position where this market will really start to move up. And that tells you that inflation is going to be stubborn.
So just from a time frame perspective, for that environment where all the stocks start rising and it's just a better environment for all precious metals investors in the stocks, you think that could be 2025?
I do, when we start to move, when we start the ascension. I think it can start right now, where you might see, you know, some little higher highs for some of these stocks and higher lows. But that's just a percolation going on underneath the surface. But you're not going to and then I think they'll get some support and they'll slowly move higher until gold really breaks out the next time. And then I think the stocks go with them. But there's nothing on the horizon as far as the Fed is concerned where the Fed is going to suddenly cut rates here. The Fed is in a great situation. At least Powell probably thinks he is, where now he's in control and he can take his time on raising rates, and he can look at the data, and he'll be in no hurry. And there's nothing on the horizon that I see right now that suddenly will force his hand as far as lowering rates.
Well, it has worried me that some of the gold bugs that we have talked to, when we ask them what some of the major catalysts will be, they've been pointing to black swan events and geopolitical issues. That, to me, is always a bit concerning when people are, especially in this sector, looking for those type of things to drive the market. Well, Doc, you've shared with us where you see gold going. What about silver? Because silver, as we're talking, is over $24 right now. But again, it just doesn't have the same sort of bullish chart that gold does in the longer term sense. Break down where you see silver going, please.
I think we have a chance for silver to move back down to $20. But I think silver can break down to $20, and I hope it does. But the chart really looks good again, just like gold. We've had months of, when you look at the long-term charts, that silver just moves up and down and sideways. And that's the mark of a strong market yet, even though people are frustrated with it. And I think that's going to continue for a number of months. But I don't think we're going back down to the levels that we saw back in 2015, 16, and 17. When you look at this kind of chart, it would have done that by now. But it's a sideways chart, but it's a strong chart. And it's just biding its time to when it starts to move back up along with gold. But it's not going to do that unless gold does, because if we're heading toward a recession and China's having its own problems, and so is Europe, everybody has been talking ad infinitum that the supply, there are short supplies in silver, but I've heard that talk for years. And when I look at the chart, it just tells me that doesn't make a difference right now, and that it's just going to be time before silver breaks back out. But it's going to be quite a bit of time, and will coincide with the gold breakout.
So, Doc, one other chart that's really standing out to me today on the back of that inflation data is the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar has now dropped to lows that we haven't seen since April of 2022. That is obviously helping a lot of different markets and a lot of different sectors, as we have seen that trend of lower dollar, better everything else in the financial markets. How at risk is the dollar here of continuing to drop in your eyes?
I think the dollar will continue to trend down for a while. It's not going to be a sudden drop, but on the long-term charts, it looks like the dollar is going to trend down for some time. And it's probably going to do that slowly. So it's probably not going to be that much help to gold. And unless it breaks its 200-month moving average, which it is a long ways from, I don't think it's going to have that much impact on the price of gold necessarily. But the trend is down for the dollar, and I think that's going to continue over the next few months.
Now, Doc, is the dollar just moving along with U.S. economic data, or do you see other drivers in other countries maybe continuing to push that dollar lower, even though we have seen fairly weak economic data around the world, especially in China, but even in Europe as well?
Yeah, and the good news for the dollar is the fact that China is struggling and Europe is struggling. If they were strong, I think the dollar would be in a lot bigger trouble. But because everybody has their own problems, and they're not going to solve them very quickly, frankly, the dollar will hold its own for a while. Of course, there is de-dollarization taking place around the world, and I think that's going to continue over the next few years. You have the big BRICS meeting in August, and everybody's anticipating what they're going to say about a new currency and if it's backed commodities or gold. But yeah, the dollar is fortunate right now because the rest of the world is not much better than us as far as their economies. So that'll support the dollar somewhat going forward.
Okay. Well, Doc, Thanks for sharing kind of your monthly outlook. Again, it sounds like still a better environment for the precious metals, for gold, but it might take some time. I know investors are really tired of hearing that, especially when we look at these juniors and boy, oh boy, they keep struggling. But overall, I guess we're seeing the right moves, especially on the back of that inflation data. We'll see how the end of this week plays out. But hey, I always appreciate your thoughts and you taking the time to share them with us. So, Doc, again, thank you very much for your time on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.